As we said in the presentations for mutual funds, the probability is very high that you are going to have a 401k plan or a 403b plan or some other employer-sponsored retirement defined contribution plan. And the options will normally be chosen for you. There will be a small or sometimes a large group of options. And there are many companies competing for your business. Your assignment in Chapter 4, one of your two assignments, is to research the Thrift Savings Plan, which is the 401k plan for federal government employees. What we're looking at here is the plan that is available to employees at Southwestern Community College and other school districts in San Diego County. And it is run by Nationwide Insurance. Now, folks, here's a little in general advice for you. Never trust an insurance company with your investments. And I want to remind you that not only am I a registered representative, I am also a licensed insurance agent in the state of California, and I hope they come after me as far as I'm concerned if they want to sue me for telling the truth about their lousy plan. Oh, excuse me, I knew I was going to get a little hot under the collar right from the start. Let's continue. Here's all the scary stuff that we saw before. The figures shown represent past performance and do not guarantee future results, and that's all guaranteed to be put in there by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority on behalf of the Securities and Exchange Commission. But let's take a look at the first group here. Balanced. See, they call it the best of America. Oh, boy. Nationwide, on your backside. Some of the funds are actually pretty good, folks. Some of them are very good funds. And when they first came out with it in late 2002, and two guys got up in front of about, I don't know, 50, 60 employees at Southwestern, and they were literally idiots. They had, for a 45-minute demonstration, they had a PowerPoint with about 70 slides in it. They had no idea that 45 minutes, you can barely get through maybe 20 slides, depending on the material, but they were just flipping through the slides left and right, and everybody was completely baffled, except for, you got it, yo boy here, who knew exactly what was going on. These people did not want us to understand how we were being charged. And wait till you see one of the funds that I'll show you in a minute. But I was one of the people who was raising my hand, and I'm sure they were thinking, who is this guy? And I was saying, why do you have such really bad funds? I mean, oh, relax. We're going to get American funds in Vanguard. We're working on it. Okay, great. Well, here are some American funds, which are actually pretty good funds. If you look at their inceptions dates, 75, 87, 73, they've done either 10% or a little bit better, right? Not bad, 9% in one case. But both of those, this one is a balanced fund, a stock and bond fund, which is pretty good. 10% is pretty good. This one is an equity income, and this one is an equity income fund. So those are stock funds that invest primarily for dividends. And again, 9-10% for an equity income fund, 10% for a balanced fund. That's pretty good over decades. Now here we see the target retirement funds, Fidelity Advisor, they call them Freedom Funds. That's Fidelity's idea. The Freedom Funds, 2020, 2025, and you, depending on how old you are, you would pick the Freedom Fund that would correspond to the time you're ready to retire. And notice that they only go up to 2050. I do know that a couple other companies are already, well, I wish they wouldn't do that. A couple other companies are already hawking 2055 and 2060 funds. Now here, whenever you see NW, that is Nationwide. So they're throwing their own funds in here, folks. And what you'll see is there the American funds, let's go back to the American funds, look at the expense ratios, 30.35, 0.36, 0.35. And you see their Freedom funds are about 1%. And then you see their funds at about 0.8%, 0.86%. Well, what they don't tell you, and they cagey. They're very cagey. They don't tell you. They are charging you an extra 0.3% on most all these funds and an extra 0.7% on the American and the Vanguard funds. Remember, they said, we're working on it, we're working on it. I guess enough people complained, and they went out and got the American and Vanguard, but they said, you know what, we're not making enough money off of these. We're going to add 0.75%. So it looks like these things are really cheap, 0.35, 0.376. But you have to add a 0.7% to those. So they're about 1%. And the others, you have to add a 0.3%. So they're 1.3% or 1.1%. Here's another very good fund. These are two Vanguard funds, Wellington and Wesley. They've been around for a good long time. And notice, since 1929. Now, 7.5%, that's typical of a fund that is very conservative and, you know, we'd like to do better, but it's not bad. It's not bad. Now, 9.5% since 1970, that's better. And now we get into the bond funds. Well, we should expect lower returns from the bond funds, and indeed we do. I don't know anything about this company, but PIMCO is an excellent company, folks. They're up in Orange County. And they have the world's largest bond fund. They have the world's largest mutual fund, and there it is. The total return. Notice how they abbreviate them to make it difficult to understand what they're saying. But the total return bond fund is run by a gentleman by the name of Bill Gross, and he's done a very, very good job. Now remember, 0.85 plus 0.3%. But for a bond fund to return 7.5%, over its lifetime, that's pretty good. You know, bond funds, you get 6%, you're happy. He's done very well. And then here's a Vanguard fund. I don't know anything about that one. There's their money market fund. I wish it would stop doing that, but it wasn't. Money market fund. Notice it's paying negative. How can a money market fund be paying negative? I haven't figured that one out yet. But I guess it's because they've been adding some extra fees to it, so it's actually negative. Some other companies are paying 0.01%, and they're really not, I mean, they're paying you 0.01%, but how are they doing it? They're actually taking money out of their own pocket to pay you that. Some other companies are just paying you 0% and saying, look, we're not making any money off of these, and so we're not going to pay you any money. But the other ones who want to make you happy, make you feel like you're getting something, are paying you 0.01%, which is literally, I mean, almost nothing. Now, here's some international stocks. And again, some of these are quite good. They've done pretty well. That's the another American Funds Capital World Growth and Income, 10% since 1993, 11.85 since 1973. There's one almost 9% since 1990. Here's a developing market. Now, this is one of the gotchas that I talk about in these plans. If you have no idea of investing, you look at the 10-year return, almost 20%, the lifetime return, 14.5%, and it's been around since 1996, and you think, that's the one I'm going to invest in. Well, the developing markets, folks, or sometimes called the emerging markets, are very volatile. I'm not trying to say they're not good places to invest. I have some personally, my money in developing markets, I recommend a little bit, you know, depending on the individual. But they are also sometimes called the sub-emerging markets, not just the emerging markets, because they're, as you saw back in Chapter 1, their standard deviation is huge. They go up high and they go down high. And if you're not emotionally and intellectually ready for that $10,000 to turn into $4,000 and then go back up to $14,000. What a roller coaster. The chances are you're going to bail out at just the wrong time. And notice in the thrift savings plan. Do you see an emerging markets fund in the thrift savings plan? No, you don't. And as well, you shouldn't, because they're just too risky for the vast majority of people, in my humble opinion. Unless you know exactly what you're doing, or you have a trusted financial advisor who's going to warn you and prepare you for those times. So if it were up to me, I would not put something like that into a 401k plan. If I did, I would limit people's ability to put no more than 10 or 20% of their total portfolio in there. You understand? I don't know if that's even legal. I'm not a third party administrator. I don't know if you can do that. I hope you could, because if somebody sees that, they're going to put everything. They're really excited, you know, they're just starting out, or maybe they're rolling over an IRA or something, or their previous company's 401k or 403b, and they put all their money into an emerging markets fund, only to watch it fall 40%. Now, if they hang on, I think they're going to do well over the long term, but you know, people's emotions are very strong. And here are some domestic large cap stocks. Very good funds. Look at this. Almost 13%, 0.39%, but you got to add 0.7%. So Payano, you're saying, hey, some of these funds are really pretty good if you know what you're doing, right? Some of them are not so good if you don't know what you're doing. But here's what I really want to show you, because this is where my blood starts to boil. This is their 500 index fund. Remember the Vanguard 500 index fund? This is the Nationwide 500 index fund. They didn't get us the Vanguard one, no. And we see that it's done, 2.53% since 1998. Well, why is that? Because it happened to be not the best time to start the fund. But the more importantly, look at that expense ratio. If you go back to the second presentation in Chapter 4, you'll see that Vanguard's was 0.17%. And then if you had $10,000, it went down to 0.05%. And Fidelity's was 0.1%, right? So this thing is 0.6%, but then you have to add 0.3%, because Nationwide sneaks in that extra charge on top of you. So they are charging almost 1% for a 500 index fund. Now remember, folks, what do they do in an index fund? Passive management, which is a fancy way of saying they don't do nothing. They look at a list of 500 stocks and they buy them. So do you understand what they're doing? They are not alone. There are many companies that are pulling this off, but insurance companies are, in my humble opinion, angry humble opinion, because this is my plan, they are the worst for this. They sneak in these high fee funds when they could easily get you something that's a whole lot better. Why do they do that? Because they can. They're making pure profit off of this thing. It's their own fund. The next one is the Oppenheimer Main Street Fund. Not a bad fund. It's done well since 1988. The growth index fund, a very good Vanguard fund, but you've got to add 0.7%. And the same thing for the value index. They're index funds, and yet they're charging you close to 1% for an index fund. Drives me insane. Okay, now here comes some mid-cap stocks. Whoops, I went too far. Sorry, let me go back. Mid-cap stocks and small-cap stocks, folks, they're fine. They're fine for seasoned investors who understand the risks and are emotionally prepared. But, you know, I believe, in my humble opinion, that the average Joe or Jane investor who's doing their job, raising their kids, trying to get through the day at work, and put money into their 401k, they should not put a whole lot of money into these things. They really, and if they have a good advisor, he'll tell them, you know, put a little bit in mid-cap, a little bit in small-cap, if you're so inclined, and realize that you're going to have some serious volatility. But they just don't do that. They just throw these things at people, and they think, oh, this is good, 12%. I think I'm going to go with that. But hey, you're going to deal with some serious volatility. Here are some short-term bond funds. Now, short-term bond funds, as we're going to learn when we get to bonds, short-term bonds, they start to look like money markets. They start to look like short-term investments. So they're, if you need this money soon, they're not a bad choice. But for most people who are in it for the long term, in a 401k plan, a retirement plan, you don't want to have very much in a short-term bond fund. Unless you're ready to retire. You know, if you're ready to retire, then you do need some in there. Now, small cap stocks, the same situation we talked about when we talked about mid cap stocks. Small and mid cap stocks and the emerging markets are just going to be very volatile. How about specialty? Again, most of these things, if it were up to me, they just would not be in a 401k plan. Biotechnology, great, great promise of technology, folks, coming out of the biotechnology world. Disasters for many investors. Yours truly, I lost a good chunk of money a few times, about four times or so, on biotech companies. So they're just too darn volatile. The promise, though, is just unbelievable how they're going to change the world. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of people losing money. An energy fund, okay, if you know what you're doing, okay, you understand energy. Real estate fund, okay, you understand these are good long-term, but it's a sector fund. I would not put more than 5, 10%, maybe 20 at the most if you really love oil or real estate. And then here's another gotcha, gold. Special minerals fund. These, in my humble opinion, do not belong in a 401k. It's in the last 10 years, it's done over 15%. Well, great. Then, if you look at gold, there are many times when it does really well, and other hard, they're called hard assets, commodities. But then there are decades where it doesn't do anything. From 1981 to 1999, 2000. Gold went from $800 an ounce, 800 something, to 250. See, almost 20 years. Yeah, and then there's people who just love gold. REIT, real estate trust, and then telecommunications. Again, it's you're not diversifying, you're concentrating. And so, what do you think of the 401k plan? It's actually 403b plan at Southwestern Community College. Well, I apologize for being biased, for leading you and telling you how awful I think it is. I don't think it's awful if you understand what you're doing and if you understand how they're getting you, how they get with those gotchas in there. But I fear, and I know this happens, I know it happens, that a lot of people are just not getting their money's worth, so to speak. They're not getting a good value. And another thing, which is very interesting, I don't know if I discussed this in the presentation, but studies have been done regarding participation rates amongst employees. And the common wisdom is in America, if one is good, two is better, then 28 must be best, right? We want more. More is better in the United States. But it turns out in 401k plans, 403b plans, less is better. The fewer the choices there are, the more participation. Because what happens is you throw however many funds, whatever this is, 60 or 70, I haven't counted it up, but several funds. If you throw all these funds at people, they freeze. They get that deer in the headlights. Like, I don't know, what do you think? What do you go? I don't know, what do you pick? I don't know. And as we said in the scramble sheet, they either look at the most aggressive one, they go to the emerging markets fund or the gold fund or whatever has done best in the last 10 years, and they put all their money in there. Or they go to the cash fund, the money market fund. Sometimes it's called the stable fund in a 401k plan, the stability fund. And they put all their money there. And we've learned that those are, for the long term, pretty bad choices for most people. Putting all your money in a money market is a really bad choice. unless the world ends, in which case you'll probably do better than anybody else, but of course the world ends, so it doesn't matter. And if you put all your money into the most aggressive fund, you may be able to ride out the ups and downs emotionally. Chances are you probably won't. And so you look at, I want you to compare this one with the one that you're doing as a an assignment, the thrift savings plan, and you'll find that the thrift savings plan has 5 choices as opposed to whatever this has. You with me? You understand? So now you are the expert from now on. When you go into that 401k meeting where the people in the three-piece, the Armani suits, I understand why they call it Armani. After you buy it, it's their money, right? And the Gucci shoes. They're going to throw these things at you, and you're going to understand how you're being charged. And you're going to say, well, sure, this comes with a 0.7%, 70 cents for every $100. Are there any additional fees? Oh, then that guy or that gal in the three-piece suit is really going to feel bad, is really going to be angry at you for bringing that up, because other people say, what do you mean? And there's supposed to be, this year, on all new statements, a dollar amount showing you exactly how much you have been charged. They keep promising it. I don't know when it's going to happen. So, I hope, dear students, this has been an illuminating discussion on 401k plan, specifically Southwestern's 403b plan, but it should relate to you later on, if not now, in your lifetime. Thank you for your indulgence, because I know I go off on a I don't want to retire, but I'm going to, someday. And when I do, I'm going to take all my money out faster than they can even stick in, because they're thinking they're going to take my money and put it into an annuity and get an even fatter commission. And they're going to be so surprised when it just disappears one day. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to see. Okay. See ya.